all parts of Africa, Europe, Asia, Antarctica, Middle East, and the Americas. Spirit FM, positive soul music.
7843-4454.
Hey Bob, is that house on?
Great content, rich, positive music from the Ashanti Kingdom through the internet at www.spiritfmonline.com. To all parts of Africa, Europe, Asia, Antarctica, Middle East, and the Americas. Spirit FM, positive soul music.
Spirit FM 88.3. Romans chapter 13 verse 11 to 12 says, "And that knowing the time, that now is the high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light." On this broadcast, Brother Eben.
All right, good evening. This is Eben. I'll be with you from now till 9 p.m. Thank you for tuning in to Spirit 88.3 FM. Okay, so soon the year is speeding up. I mean, it's just interesting how the time is moving very fast. I mean, so far January is just over and it's as if it's just a dream, because I mean the memory of December is just as if it was yesterday. All right, a lot is happening in the world. The news, if you check the foreign news, you see so many things happening. Okay, so let's start with this first one. New outbreak of eye bleeding virus with 90% mortality rate raises alarm among world experts. So we have this news that says the recent outbreak of a viral infection resembling Ebola, specifically the Marburg virus, has resulted in the deaths of 9 individuals, as reported by the global health authorities. The highly lethal pathogen has infected a total of 10 individuals in Tanzania, with the outbreak officially announced by the Tanzanian government last week. So 9 out of 10, and that gives it a very high mortality rate so far. Well, I just hope they contain it there. All right, then we have a few news items on AI, where we have another OpenAI researcher quits, claiming AI labs are taking a very risky gamble with humanity. So an OpenAI safety researcher has described global race toward artificial general intelligence, AGI, as very risky gamble with significant downsides for humanity, announcing his unexpected resignation from the organization. Stephen Adia, who has been at the forefront of safety-related research and program development for product launches and speculative long-term AI systems at OpenAI, has joined other prominent AI researchers in expressing their concerns regarding the rapid evolution of these technologies. In a series of posts on social media platform X, Adler articulated his apprehensions about the accelerating pace of AI advancement. According to Daily Mail, he stated, quote, "An AGI race is a very risky gamble with significant downsides," unquote, and further expressed that he is personally quite alarmed by the speed of AI development. And with that development thing this week, the Chinese surprised the world. They took the AI race between US and China to another level, where DeepSeek was launched. And you know, for those who have used ChatGPT and others, DeepSeek seems to, you know, make ChatGPT a bit on the lower side, because the Chinese claim that they used less processing chips, like, you know, to generate these things at lower cost, while the US pushing billions into it. They claim they spent millions of dollars, so it crashed a lot of the US and the world tech stocks. Almost $1 trillion was wiped off the stocks of tech companies around the world. And it's interesting, because DeepSeek, DeepSeek, like seeking something, DeepSeek, and their symbol is like a whale. And if you install it, you realize if you've used ChatGPT and you use that one, it's quite interesting. And theirs is for free. So this whole AI thing is taking it to another level. Another news that says top AI investor warns the goal is to crash human wages in order to bring economic utopia. So Mark Andreessen, a co-founder of the massive venture capital firm Andreessen Horowitz, which has its fingers in pretty much every pie in tech or in technology, has revealed an eyebrow-raising detail in his techno-optimist vision of the future. In a recent tweet, the American billionaire investor casually proclaimed that AI must crash everyone's wages before it can deliver us an economic utopia, one that will definitely happen and certainly not create a permanent underclass of have-nots. A world in which human wages crash from AI logically and necessarily is a world in which productivity growth goes through the roof and prices of goods and services crash to near zero, Andreessen wrote. Consumer cornucopia, everything you need and want for pennies. This is where this World Economic Forum people have been saying that you own nothing, but you'll be happy. You know, that's their vision of the future. These people. So, because I'm continuing the news, fret not, lowly laborer. You may be destined for financial ruin, but paradise is right around the corner. Pinky promise. These people. Andreessen's tweet is a revealing example of the ruthless economic logic that underlies tech moguls' utopic visions of the future, in which progress is a foregone conclusion, rendering everyone's economic suffering in the interim merely a means to an end. Like overzealous fitness instructors, they always choose to emphasize the need for pain to achieve anything. The author of the Techno-Optimist Manifesto, Andreessen, also embodies how these brutal economic paradigm shifts are addressed up in benign rhetoric. AI-induced wage collapse is a consequence that happens logically and necessarily, according to the billionaire. You know, the consequences of this thing. It's not surprising that the Vatican issued a statement this week as well. Vatican warns AI artificial intelligence, for those who may not be aware of AI, Vatican warns AI could undermine the very foundations of society. Yes, I agree with them. The Vatican released a new document concerning artificial intelligence on Tuesday, cautioning that this technology has the potential to erode the trust that underpins societal structures, leading to the possibility of individuals becoming mere cogs in a machine. Earlier this month, Pope Francis, who has frequently been a target of misinformation and manipulated images, expressed concerns that AI could be misused to manipulate minds. The latest Vatican document expands on these concerns. The text states, quote, AI-generated false media can gradually undermine the foundations of society, unquote. It was produced by two departments within the Vatican and received approval from the 88-year-old pontiff. The document further asserts that as deepfakes prompt individuals to question the authenticity of all information, and as AI-generated misinformation dismisses trust in the content individuals encounter, societal polarization and conflict are likely to increase. The implications of such widespread deception are significant. It fundamentally challenges the essence of humanity by dismantling the essential trust upon which cohesive societies are established. This release follows the announcement made 3 weeks prior by Meta, the parent company of Facebook, regarding its decision to discontinue its third-party fact-checking initiative in the U.S. and instead implement a crowd-sourced approach to combat misinformation, akin to the methods employed by Elon Musk's Twitter, or now X. During the G7 summit held in Italy last June, the Pope addressed the issue of technology, emphasizing that individuals should not allow algorithms to determine their future. Unfortunately, that is what is happening. Algorithms seem to be determining the future of humanity. Okay, now to the US. We have hospitals suspend sex change surgeries and puberty blockers for kids after Trump's order. So, I mean, if Trump didn't come, then just destroy the kids? Oh, no. So, hospitals in Virginia, Colorado, and Washington, D.C. suspended body-altering interventions for minors confused about their sex in response to President Donald Trump's executive order that seeks to ban federal funding for the chemical and surgical mutilation of children. Denver Health in Colorado and Virginia Commonwealth University Health and the Children's Hospital of Richmond at VCU are just a few examples of the hospitals that have announced the suspension of so-called gender-affirming care. The Children's National Hospital in Washington, D.C. also announced a pause in the prescription of puberty blockers and hormone-suppressing drugs for trans-identified young patients. The hospital said it already did not perform sex change surgeries on minors. Then the next one. I mean, for this, you might have heard me comment about it several times on this program. Trump restores single-sex prisons, sending male inmates who identify as women back to men's facilities. You know, this. So, is it now that common sense has come to this land? It's amazing how society can just turn upside down and those in charge are just acting as if their brains are not working. So one man comes and then suddenly changes everything again. How on earth can a man who has beard and says that, okay, I'm a woman, so take me to a female prison, and you take such a person, lock the gates in a room, a cell of four people, three women and a man who says I'm a woman, and now there are cases of prisoners who have been raped and impregnated by these so-called women. It's good, at least common sense is working now. So far 1,500 1,500 male federal prisoners identifying as women will be redirected to men's facilities following President Trump's executive order aimed at establishing single-sex prisons. But that is how the world has been all these years until Joe Biden came. No. Interesting. Okay, and then another one in the U.S. again, we have Trump orders pronouns removed from federal employees' email signatures. You know, so effective immediately. Normally when you send a mail, you have to, as part of the signature, you have to put your pronouns in there so that whoever is replying will use them so that they don't misgender you. So in case you are a man, but you say I'm called, I prefer to be called with pronouns, hers, all sorts of hers, and then whatever. Some say Z, X, E, R as a pronoun. And it's like, if the person says these are my pronouns, you have to comply and use it. If you don't, and you go and use your own assumption that, well, I know this person is a woman, so let me reply as her. You can be taken on, but common sense has prevailed again. So now all government workers in the U.S. have to remove it from their emails. I mean, because officially the U.S. government is recognizing only two sexes, male, female, nothing, no in between, no XYZ, no whatever LGBTQ, whatever. I mean, all those numbers they add. Alphabet they add to it. Even there's a number in, I saw one be something something, and then there's a two in there too. I said, these people. Okay, so Banner Group has done another research, and it's quite, of all the things the research I've been reading here, I think this is the worst. This is the one that has shocked me to the bone. I mean, this evening when I was working on it, I couldn't believe what I was reading. So the church's biblical IQ has never been lower. In a poll by Banner Group, half of those who describe themselves as Christians, listen very well what I'm coming to say, did not believe that Satan exists. I mean, how? And one third were confident that Jesus sinned while he was on earth. I mean, how can this happen? I don't know how to describe this thing. How can you say you're a Christian and you believe Jesus sinned? One third. It's not just a small number, one third. It seems, I mean, I'm reading continuing the report. It seems to me that in the church today, there's a rising biblical illiteracy amongst professed followers of Jesus. Our biblical IQ, if you will, never has been lower. As George Banner put it, growing numbers of people now serve as their own theologian in residence. Quote unquote, theologian in residence. Interesting. What we believe about God and what he says about himself is the most important thing we could focus on and think about. In fact, what we think about God has everything to do with how we live our lives. Our views of God will determine how we react to what comes on our way in life. Yet, we don't have to check our brains at the door when we choose to be followers of Jesus Christ, because Christianity is a reasonable faith. It is a logical faith. God says, "Come now and let us reason together," Isaiah 1:18. A modern version of this verse says, "Come, sit down, let's argue this out." We need to think and act biblically, not emotionally. Far too many people today emote when it comes to God. They feel they don't think. They say things like, quote, "I don't believe in a God of love judging everyone," unquote. "My God will never do this and that." Or the classic, "I'm not into organized religion. I'm just a really spiritual person." We need to think carefully about these things. We neglect theology at our own peril, because experience is never to be the basis for theology. Rather, sound theology should be the basis for our experience. C.S. Lewis gave this warning: if you do not listen to theology, that will not mean that you have no ideas about God. It will mean that you have a lot of wrong ones. The Apostle Paul wrote, "Take heed unto yourself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee." 1 Timothy 4:16. Yet someone will say, "Well, I just love Jesus. Can't we just see these things aside, set these things aside?" That is a nice sentiment, but there's a problem. What if you end up loving the wrong Jesus? For instance, if the Jesus whom you supposedly love sinned whilst he was on earth, as half of the prescribed Christians in the banner poll believe, then what kind of savior is that? If the Jesus you love is not the Jesus of the Bible, then effectively you are an idolater. You are worshipping another god. Imagine if you board a plane and just before taking off, the pilot announces over the intercom, Fuel Shimuel, let's just see how far this bucket of bolts will go. Or what would you think about a surgeon who said, "Hey, let's just get out of the scalpel, start cutting and see what happens"? You would be alarmed. Yet at the same time, when it comes to something that decides their eternal destiny, many people treat it casually, effectively making up the rules as they go. A.W. Tozer said, "Nothing twists or deforms the soul more than a low or unworthy conception of God. We must have a proper understanding of the character and the nature of God, and there is no better place to start that than with God himself. What does the Bible say about God? God exists and is the creator of the universe and humanity." Of course, I know there are atheists who have done their level best to determine or undermine the faith of those who choose to believe the Bible. However, most polls would reveal that Americans by and large believe in God. Interestingly, the Bible never tries to prove the existence of God. It simply starts with these words, "In the beginning, God," Genesis 1:1. This assumes the obvious. It assumes that people know that this is true. And frankly, I think it takes far more faith to believe there is no God than to believe there's one. Interesting one. All right, then we have this final part. Goes on to say that people today are willing to accept the premise of God, but it seems they want a God in their own image. As Voltaire pointed out, God made man in his image and man turned the favor. And that is what we largely have today, a generation that believes in a God of their own making. We live in a day of information on demand. We can hear and see what we want when we want it. And we sometimes apply the same approach to God. We customize a God that does what we want him to do and says what we want him to say. But that is not the way to know God. We don't mold God into our own image. He wants to mold us into his. God says, "I'm the Lord, I do not change." Malachi 3:6. In the beginning, God. That is where it starts. And if we eliminate God, we have a big problem. The Bible doesn't tell us where God came from. It just tells us that God is. God always has existed. He did not come from something. He was not invented or created. God always has been. He has no beginning or ending. Though times and circumstances change, God never does. Everything except God is changing day by day. We live in a storm-tossed world. These are uncertain times, and we need a real certainty that will help us get through them. When you believe God, it doesn't necessarily change your circumstances, though sometimes it will. More often than not, it will change you. It will help you to view your circumstances properly. On the other hand, if we don't understand who God is, if our view of God is warped, then it will affect us in the way that we live. Let's make sure we are worshiping the true God as he is presented to us in the pages of Scripture. Well, I like this piece by Greg Laurie, because you see, this issue of people having the way they want to see God to be the standard of who God is very dangerous. And to say that Jesus sent, you believe Jesus sent whilst he was on earth, means you don't understand his death on the cross. Because if he sent, then how can his death cleanse your sins? I mean, these are the fundamentals. And if we have this whole misunderstanding of who God is, that means then we don't even know God. And it's a bit sad because we have a generation that is largely just setting their own questions. Let me put it that way. Like someone who sets his own questions and answers them and is happy that he's gotten 100%. I mean, what have you done? You've done nothing. So people set their own standard of who God is, and that is what makes them happy. Yes, I know God. So because I know the God that I have assumed to be as God, then I'm a Christian, and that is it. I'm fine. I know God. And it's a very dangerous thing, because it's very worrying, because people don't know God. A lot of believers it's sad, but that's the reality. Last week, one of the messages that I got, one of the messages that was sent to in the program, she said that a lot of pastors are not even born again. Of course, well, the numbers, we won't know the numbers, but it's a reality that some pastors are not born again. And that one is obvious. I've heard of an instance where a pastor went to do a program somewhere, did a altar call, and pastors came. Is it so? It's the reality, and it's not far-fetched. Just look at some of the things happening in some churches. Look online, some of the things being preached, and you just marvel. I mean, look at the comedy we saw prior to the election and after election. I mean, this back and forth and all. I mean, it's just disgusting. You see, but all this is being done in the name of God, in the name of God, in the name of God. And it's a very sad reality that we find ourselves in. And I believe if there was ever a time that believers should be serious about knowing God genuinely themselves, it is now. Because we are having a serious situation where there are people who say they know God, but their knowledge of God is through their pastor or through somebody. They themselves do not have that relationship with God one-on-one. They don't know God themselves, but they know the God of their pastor. So if their pastor says this is who God is and how God is, that is what they abide by. But that cannot be the definition of who the God that you know. No, that cannot be. And it's a very sad reflection of these times we are in, where people are not, but the standard has fallen. They are not worried. They just don't care. It's just that we've made services, attendance in church as more of a priority than the contents that people take home when they come to church. So it's just about just come to church, and that is it. So when they come, of course they come, offerings are taken, that is it. So if you come and you don't gain anything spiritually, but you just come to fill the pew and, you know, fill the offering bowl, well, that is okay. I mean, that's all that matters. So we have a lot of churchgoers now, but in terms of the standard, the Christian standard, the values, very few, very, 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 very few. I mean, sometimes we just marvel that what is happening in this generation. We need a serious revival, because that's the only way out. Because a real shaking is what will save the church. Because the way the church is going now, it's worried. It's very, very worrying. I mean, you look at so many things happening now, the monetization. And this week I was having a chat with a pastor friend, and he was expressing his worries as well. You know, because you can see that something is just not right in the larger space. I mean, something is not right. It's all, the priorities are wrong, the agenda set is wrong, and it's all about failing material and, you know, physical needs. So that's all that matters. But the real spiritual needs of people, they are lacking, and they are not getting it satisfied. It's one of the reasons why church attendance has dropped. I mean, most pastors will confirm that yes, attendance has dropped in church and all that. But one question that is, I mean, they must be asking themselves, for any pastor who has been wondering why people are not coming to church of late and all that, one question is, why are they not coming? Yes, but you might have asked that one yourself and all that, but or at your church meeting, your board meeting with your pastors or leaders and all. But the question, that question has a very deep answer, which most people are not getting that answer. The answer, apart from people worried about monetization and all that, the main fundamental underlining reason is people are not getting spiritual satisfaction when they go to church. They just feel they are just going for going sake. They just go and come back empty. There's nothing they gain. It's just a routine. So it's like, let me just go to please my conscience that I went to church, so that's why I'm going. So they just go and they just come. Nothing has changed, nothing gained. They just go. They are just members. They just see themselves as club members. So just go, represent yourself, go 2 hours, we come home. Yes, I went to church. Go and mark the register. This is what is happening. So some get fed up. They ask themselves, they assess their lives, and they see nothing happening spiritually. So then the question is, why continue going again if nothing really gainful is? This is one of the reasons why people are losing interest in going to churches. This is one of the reasons, because it's like a one-way thing, no real fire out action, like the presence of God. It's a lot of things are just routine, religious activities, one way. So people are just fed up. They are not feeling the presence of God. They are not really being touched spiritually. And these are the realities. So it's not surprising that people have their own, I mean, ideas about who God is and how he is and all that, because they are not being told the truth from the pulpit. So their perception of God is some of these things we hear. And I keep saying that if we are to do some of these surveys in this country, we may even get worse statistics. Oh yes, I mean, because clearly there's something missing, and it's not too far-fetched from some of these numbers that we read. All right, so this is Eben. The program is Issues of Life. I'll be back after this break.
Speaking in my heart today, consuming all my shame. His life a shining star to show the way.
I will follow Christ and I will run the race. Fighting the good fight, standing on my faith. Yes, I will follow.
On fire across the street?
Yeah. 79.4.
I think there's people upstairs. Don't you think someone should call them their house is on fire?
Don't worry about it. Somebody else will tell them. 2439.
Yeah, but what if they don't? You know, those people could die. You should tell them.
Nah, it's too close to lunch.
It's too close to lunch?
Look, it's 5 minutes before lunch. Last time I got to the cafeteria late, the Swedish meatballs were gone, okay?
Let me get this straight. Their house is on fire, and you're worried about Swedish meatballs.
If you're so concerned, you tell them.
Me? Well, you're the one that took the communications class.
Look, I'm an accountant, not a fireman.
Well, what does it take to tell them their house is on fire?
What am I supposed to do? Run around looking for all the burning houses in the world so I can tell the people inside they're gonna die?
I'm not talking about every burning house in the world. I'm talking about the one next door.
People around us need Jesus. Do you care? Another message from Lifeline Productions, located on the web at lifelinepro.com.
Wow, indeed. The people who need Jesus sometimes. I have this friend who says that the people who need to be born again are more in the church than even outside sometimes. And it's a very sad reality. Yeah, it's very, very unfortunate. But these are the times we live in, and this is what we are seeing. Today or tonight, let me just focus on something brief. And, you know, in the early part of the year, yes, there's a lot of prayer, fasting, perfect, it's good. But there's something which sometimes we don't address it. So we seem to create this cycle. Beginning of the year, we'll pray. Then we go through the year in the same old fashion, how we do things, nothing changes. And the year will end, if we are to take stock of our life, nothing, it's just a normal year, nothing significant. The things we pray for, well, nothing happens. You see, so we've just created a religious activity. We'll fast and pray in the beginning of the year, and then we just do it. Then, of course, I'm not everybody in this case, but some have made it into a just a religious activity. denying the real benefit of it because, well, they say I should do, so I'm doing. But aside that, what is the use of fasting and praying, and you finish and you are just coming to live your life the same way you did last year and you failed or you didn't achieve anything? And I'm not talking of the spiritual aspect, I'm talking of the physical things, that you fast and you pray expecting God to open doors, bless you and all that, and yet one of the biggest challenges we are having in our generation now is time management, time wastage. You finish praying, you finish fasting, and you are still going to continue wasting your time. You are not going to achieve the things you expect God to give you, because God just doesn't, I mean, it's not just an ATM, just blessing, blessing, blessing for blessing's sake. There is a duty on our side as well to do things, and He blesses it. But if we would mismanage our time and still expect that God will perform some magic wand and things will move in our lives, it's not going to happen. And naturally, these are some of the reasons why we are where we are as Christians, because they say we've not changed our mindset, we've not changed the way we think, so it's the same way we do things, and yet we are praying and praying and praying and nothing is happening. And I believe it's time some of these things are addressed alongside the prayer and the fastings and all, because yes, it's good to do these spiritual exercises, but aside that, yes, in going through the year, it's not just by prayer alone, and don't misquote me, alone, it's not prayer alone that you are going to survive in the year. A whole lot of other things coming alongside prayer backing it up. So if you don't work and nothing works, nothing changes in your life, you don't take the steps you have to take as a student, you don't learn, and you expect just God to perform magic for you in the exams. You see, these are the practical things that we should put in, the measures we have to do. Oftentimes we fall short of it, and then yet we expect that God will do a wonder. So the reason why it's a dangerous trend is that after this trend or cycle repeats after a series or a season, number of seasons, people give up and now think that God is rather not answering their prayers, then God is not faithful. Then part of those who start having all forms of perceptions about who God is. But you see, it starts from somewhere. Having wrong perceptions about God starts from some errors on our side as humans. And now we form an image of who God is based on that wrong assumptions. So one of the things I'm briefly focusing on this evening is the issue of time, because it's a very valuable resource, extremely valuable resource. And it's very unfortunate. It's very unfortunate that we have systems that are stealing our time so much in this generation, and people don't see anything wrong with it. Social media is stealing our time, entertainment is stealing our time, sports is stealing our time, and people just trivialize these things as normal. It's not normal. It's just, you see, you know, I keep saying this, I don't remember saying it here, but like in my discussions with people when we talk about work and all that, that if we were to be paying salaries based on the hours we work, if our salaries are based on the hours, so you work 40 hours in a week, you work 4 weeks times the 40, 160 hours, so your salary is based on per hour, you are being paid 300 cedis or 200 or 10 cedis or whatever, times the hours you work in a week, that is your salary. Our attitude in this country will change, because then we'll appreciate the value of 1 hour. You see, so because largely we don't pay per hour, I went to a meeting and I was asked, this client, they asked, what is my value 1 hour? How much? So, because they pay for the people, all the people who do things for them, who they not employ, but like contract, do something for them, or they pay you per hour. So they'll give you a timesheet. As you work, you record this. I did this in 1 hour. I did this in 30 minutes, and all. At the end of the month, all is added, and then the agreed hour wage that has been agreed per the contract with you, they pay, they multiply by that, and then they pay you. So you know. So after I started doing something for them, then I understood the importance. I've worked in the. I did some brief work sometime outside, and. You slot in, so you know that 1 hour is valued this much. You value 1 hour, you know, because after I work 1 hour, I'm getting this much. So you don't waste 1 hour, as just it doesn't matter. So you know that if you are going to waste that 1 hour on social media and you gain nothing, you've lost X amount. So you know that this is serious money. If you are just chatting with friends and you know that, it doesn't matter, let me just chat. But if that 1 hour, you know that I'm going to lose this amount of money, I can tell you a lot of the gossip people chat, it will end, because they will quickly know that, hey, I have to go back to work quickly, and else I'll lose X amount of CDs. You see, time is so important, and yet we are wasting it. It's so serious, but people are not seeing it. But perhaps the listeners of this program would understand and take it serious and work on themselves regarding these things. For instance, they talk about AI is coming and all that. People should by now be using their time to start advancing themselves, learning something on their own, because you see, whether we like it or not, this generation is going to witness one of the rudest shocks in the labor market or labor fronts in the next few years worldwide. But I keep saying this, that AI is coming for the jobs of those who don't know AI. So in essence, what will happen is, in the next few years, is those who manage their time well now by learning and improving and upgrading themselves, they will be the ones who will still be employed. They will be the ones who will still be relevant in the job market. And those who are wasting the time now will look back and lament and say that, but I had time, I could have used my time well, but it's too late. See, yes, we are praying, we are trusting God for his favor, for his blessings. It's all good. But let's do the needful as well as believers this year. We shouldn't just let the year slip by another cycle. It's just like a normal year. We are just in autopilot. January has ended. We are waiting. February end. It's like routine. You are just in. Like you are in a boat. The wind blows. Just tossing you. You don't care. You are just in. The year will end. Another year gone. Then No. We should make impactful decisions about how we are going to manage the year. It's so important. We just can't, live as if, nothing matters, anything goes. If you wake up, well, whatever comes, this is some of the things that Christians are lacking. So, just as Jesus said, those in the world are wiser. So when you see those in the world who are wiser and are managing their resources well and their time well and are progressing in life, they are not fasting, they are not praying, but they are progressing. And you have the one who is praying and fasting and trusting God and is not managing his time well and is rather retrogressing. So, something that we should have had an advantage, because if we are to do what is right, do the needful, and now we are backing it with prayer, that gives us an advantage over those in the world. But now we are overemphasizing on the advantage that we have and not doing what we have to do. So that advantage then becomes null and void. So the year will end and nothing to show for. Another year will end, nothing to show for. It's time we really evaluate the importance of time and the wastage of it thereof. we should, I mean, flee from the time wasters. I mean, these things are designed to just waste your time. It's not adding value to your life. One principal question you should ask yourself, this thing that I'm spending time on, what value is it adding to my life? Yes, once in a while, yes. I mean, not that like everything is bad as it is, no, but we should be able to control our usage of our time. So preferably you set time that, oh, I'll just spend this amount of time in doing these irrelevant things. I mean, yes, you don't really spend your whole hours there. I mean, just browsing pictures of people's parties. And now the most dangerous thing I think that technology has created, to me the most dangerous thing, is short videos. So we have Facebook, the short videos, YouTube, and then TikTok, right? And the most dangerous of all. And these are super time killers. Let me describe it that way. Describe them that way. Super time killers. They are just killing the time of people. I mean, just wasting people's lives, time, just draining, wasted, nothing. The short 30 seconds, 45 seconds. When you finish, you calculate some, 2 hours gone. Just watching short videos. And even on the under one, when they added it to WhatsApp, I was just like, WhatsApp status, that one too. I mean, see, so these are all avenues of just draining your time. And people are not seeing it, that this is causing a negative harm, negative effects in our lives. So, yes, let's realize that beyond the prayer and the fasting, we have things to do as believers. And one is time management, being conscious of our time usage. Else, we'll go through the year. January has already ended. And you see, there are people who, we are in February 1st today, but as we talk now, they don't have any plan for the year, nothing. I mean, the year has just started and they are in it. They're alive. They wake up, they're alive. Thank God, life is going on. But they have no vision for the year, no plan for the year. Autopilot, they are just existing. We cannot go on like that. No, we cannot go on like that. We should be able to plan. You see, let me just get into the scriptures and perhaps realize that the Bible also has something about these things. So let me just read quickly Colossians 4:5, that says, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Walk in wisdom towards them that are without, redeeming the time. You see, so if you find yourself in the midst of time wasters, that means you are in the midst of people who are not wise. That's the simple thing. But if you are then wise, then you have to walk in wisdom towards those who are not. So you have to know when to withdraw and excuse yourself. Because, you see, it is wisdom that will tell you that, oh, I've spent 10 minutes chatting with these people. It's okay, let me just go and do some reading. Let me just go and do some praying. Let me go and do some learning. Let me go and do some work. You see, it takes wisdom to know when to say no. It takes wisdom to know when to withdraw. It takes wisdom to know when to end a conversation. But unfortunately, this verse is not being applicable in most people's lives. We are not walking in wisdom towards those who are not without. So we've become like them and we are all not wise. But let's decide to be wise this year and know when to redeem the time and how to redeem the time. And then the second verse I'm reading, Ecclesiastes 3:1. Very popular, I'm sure most all of you know. To everything there's a time, and a time to every purpose under the heaven. That means you should be able to have timetable. We should know when to do what and when not to do something. There's a time for everything under, like every purpose under the heaven. We should be able to schedule. I mean that this is the time I'll do that. This is the time I'll do this. This is the time I'll do that. So we are just not living in autopilot and just anything that comes, that we have no control over anything, we are just moving. So you have somebody who is just there, a friend's call, hey, madam, for be mate, no uncle, no last born, no mamie ye be okay, jamme. Oh, okay, and I mean, just like, I mean, people just move without any plan in life. They just wake up in the morning, obey the wind blows them. Oh, somebody calls, they'll just go. Nothing really, no purpose. But the same person has fasted and prayed. Some are even still fasting and praying. And yet, there's no purpose for the year. So the year is, we are just moving as if by faith, well, things will just fall in line. No, things just does not fall in line. No. This is why, the reason why in last year and last 2 years, things didn't fall in line. Because things just don't fall in line. You have a role to play. You see, so sometimes we over-spiritualize everything. And yet, the fundamentals of principle and principles in life itself that we are failing to adhere to them undermines all the spirituality that we are busy holding on to, because it's a combination. If you're able to balance these things, we need to pray, yes, we need God's favor, yes, but we also have to work, we have to manage our time, we have to be wise. I have some messages. Let me read some. This one says, Mama Alice says, the missing link is that many Christians don't have connection or relationship with the Holy Spirit. Yes, that one is very true. Yes. Mrs. Ampertune says, all those saying Satan does not exist, well, I don't think they are Christians. God have mercy. So the basic prayer that even Jesus talked about, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, give us this day our daily bread, deliver us from evil. That one cry, they don't pray. Because if you pray, you pray that prayer, that basic childhood, or I mean children's prayer, that basic one cry, if you pray that one, you realize that there's a devil in there. Deliver us from the evil one. Deliver us from evil. So if you don't believe that, indeed, they are not Christians. So that means these are the people who don't even pray. Ben says, these short videos, they are dangerous. They are dangerous. Serious time wasters. I mean, I feel sad when I see people just, I was with a man somewhere, and for 2 hours, we were traveling, went to do some work somewhere, and this man was just watching 2 hours. Watch short videos. It's like, hey, I was just surprised. The Stellman's, hey, so you have nothing to do, nothing to read. I mean, even if nothing to do, nothing to read, even we are in a car with the people you went to work, even converse, interact, human being interaction is now even dying, because now the phone is taking the place of human being. So you have people who would not even bother to chat with human beings again, to connect with them. We are more interested in watching short videos than even talking to our friends and our so even spouses, there are spouses who don't even have time to talk again. So these are all destructive things that Christians, beyond the fasting and the prayer, we should now learn to manage our time effectively this year. Or else the prayer and the fasting, yes, you pray to God. Those regarding things that he can do, yes, regarding, yes, divine protection, he will give you the blessings. But these are limited. The blessings are limited, because if you say you are not learning to improve yourself, you are not working, you are not doing what you have to do and all that, this year will be the same as last year and the same as last 2 years. And the year will end and it's like, God didn't hear my prayers. No, he heard it. But you also have to do something. We have to do something. So as Colossians 4:5 says, let's just do what we have to do and walk in wisdom towards them that are without. And I believe this is one of the things we should consider this year. And Mrs. Apogeum says again, God have mercy, so that we don't just obey the wind. Oh yes, indeed. We need And it's important. And we need the Holy Spirit to help us. And in terms of self-control, I mean, it's one of the key things we need the Holy Spirit to help us. It's part of the fruit of the Spirit. But if you don't allow him, I mean, he can't impose himself on us. So, yeah, we'll be talking more. And I believe we'll be helping ourselves. So thank you for tuning into Spirits FM. This is Issues of Life. I'm Eben. And this is recorded to be uploaded to the website and the Telegram group, spiritissues.info, and then the Spirits Issues on Telegram. Thank you for tuning in. Good night, and God bless you.
Great content, rich, positive music from the Ashanti Kingdom through the internet at www.spiritfmonline.com to all parts of Africa, Europe, Asia, Antarctica, Middle East, and the Americas. Spirit FM, positive soul music.
You're listening to the new Spirit FM, Christian hit music.